In the week before Christmas, Americans bought more than 1.2 million vinyl albums, the most in a week since the 1980s. And overall, 2019 was another year of double-digit growth for the classic format, continuing a trend that started about a dozen years ago. The so-called vinyl revival is the consumer end of a broader movement back to analog music making. Behind those records being pressed and sold for the 21st century music marketplace is an invisible world of techniques and technologies that were perfected in the 20th century. And artists in roots, folk, and rock and roll especially are looking more and more for studios and mastering facilities that have the gear and expertise to make records with the pre-digital methods of 40 and more years ago. Analog is an aesthetic and a philosophy that can border on the spiritual, and in modern-day Music City, the Analog Way has something of a shrine. It's a studio in North Nashville that invites you back in time with its very name. It's called Welcome to 1979. Recording studios are generally exclusive sanctuaries. Space is usually at a premium, guests are rare. But Welcome to 1979 is a different kind of place, a 33,000 square foot block building that started life in 1953 as a record pressing plant. Owner-operator Chris Mara looks around.
But this control room is different than almost every control room you'll see. It's rather large, I think, 1,300 square feet. It's got three or four couches in it.
Shelves stacked floor to ceiling with boxes holding 2-inch analog tape.
Recording equipment and tape machines. And
there's a requisite studio lava lamp.
It looks like the cleanest 1970s living room ever.
On a Friday night last fall, it was full of people, about 80 or 90 guests mingling and waiting. The occasion was the studio's annual recording summit, a ticketed retreat for music professionals. Mara welcomed the conferees to this kickoff event featuring the epitome of analog recording.
Cool. I'll sleep here. So we're recording live a band, which I'll announce in a minute. We're recording them live to a vinyl master, so it's one of the few places in the world we can do that.
Live to a vinyl master. That means the sound the musicians make travels from microphones through a mixing console and out to a cutting needle, etching a groove in a blank record in real time. Once the needle touches down, there's no stopping and no ability to go back and fix mistakes. It's a performance. And this was the only realistic way to make records before magnetic tape became popular in the 1950s. It's called a master because the disc, once etched, can be duplicated. But that comes later. First, the band.
It was Old Crow Medicine Show.
Plus special guest Molly Tuttle on guitar. With their old-time country music outlook, Old Crow was perfectly suited to the antique recording approach. But that doesn't mean it was simple.
They each play about four instruments.
They would be doing three songs per side, swapping instruments in between songs.
Every pause between a song is the same as you're going to hear it as a listener. So with each of them playing multiple instruments throughout a set, on a live manner, they just grab another instrument that already has a microphone in it.
But that's not how it usually goes in a studio, where engineers like Mara like to take time and care setting up every microphone for every take. That wasn't an option here, so he made little stations for each musician that could cover them whatever they played or sang.
We just decided to have, I'm motioning my hands, like a microphone here in front of a mouth, a microphone here in front of a belly button, and then a microphone here above their head.
So if you're counting, that's 26 microphones. Mara mixes all that sound to a stereo signal, and that goes to the heart of the operation, a high-precision, very expensive cutting lathe run by a professional.
I'm Maggie Luthar, and I'm the mastering engineer here at Welcome to 1979. I've been here for 2 months, so I'm still fairly new here, but I've been cutting lacquers for a couple years now, most recently before this position at Chicago Mastering Service. Probably been cutting for about almost three years now, I guess, 2018, 19, almost 3 years. So I've seen a lot at this point.
In her day-to-day business at Welcome to 1979, Luthar cuts master recordings that have arrived already mixed as computer files. But here, they're mixing it all in real time, so they practice.
As they were setting up and Chris was getting levels and everything, I was listening to the audio that was being fed. We did a bunch of test cuts.
Here's the thing. You can play back the vinyl master on a record player to check it, or you can send it on for plating and pressing, but you can't do both because the playback needle starts to damage the soft vinyl. They're prepping for a one-shot deal.
Once everybody was happy with how things sounded, then a little bit later we cut the record.
Train going down the railroad track.
Blue Railroad Train, a hit by the Delmore Brothers in 1934, came washing out of the monitors with immediacy and transparency. The crowd in the control room could hear it all and see the band in the main room downstairs playing it on a video screen. And we could see Maggie and her cutting lathe on another. The band was in its element.
We are such a live band that we can easily let go of the little things that go wrong.
After the session, bass player Morgan Janik said the gear and atmosphere at Welcome to 1979 is just right for this kind of thing.
That's what you could do here. That is like that. It encourages that kind of creativity. There aren't any boundaries. It doesn't feel like you're tiptoeing around what recorded music can be. It just feels like performance.
Old Crow hasn't decided yet when or whether to release the session on a vinyl record. Were that to happen, the Fragile Masters would have to be prepared for duplication, and that's where the rest of Welcome to 1979's facility comes into play.
This is our electroplating facility, which is the second step of making a record.
Mara says that as far as he knows, this Nashville plant is the only place in the country where a live master vinyl can be cut and plated under one roof.
So the lacquers that Maggie cuts and other people from around the world cut ship them to us, and we process them. So the end result is a metal negative made from pure nickel that has ridges where there once were grooves, and those get sent to pressing plants.
These look like a series of industrial sinks, and in each is a master disc on one side and a basket full of marbles made of pure nickel on the other.
And the electrical current flowing breaks down the nickel pellets, the round nickel pellets about the size of marbles. And those molecular pieces of nickel travel through the green liquid, which is nickel sulfamate, trying to get to the aluminum that's underneath the lacquer, and they land on the grooves.
And those shiny silver plates are trimmed, prepped, and sent to the record pressing plant. As Mara told me, this building used to be full of record presses, stamping day and night. Now it's dedicated to the rest of the process, the art and the science that leads up to that final step.
Blue Railroad Train.
Every time I walk into this building, it feels like, oh, I want to make music here. It's not like I need to come here and spend a month and do my record here. It's like, I want to come make music here.
Old Crow's Morgan Janik has produced and recorded at Welcome to 1979 for years. He says its ethos makes a link between the analog-minded musician and the analog-loving fan.
And I think that just that physical act of putting a record on the turntable and dropping the needle and making the commitment to listening to music, that's important to me. And I think that's important to me as a listener and as important to me as an artist, because that's the kind of thing that I think about when we're putting songs together. I think it's important to let yourself experience it the way that they thought you might want to experience it.
Somebody asked me if I was a Luddite, and I was like, I don't know what that is. Like, slow down. I look it up. I get it. No, I'm not a Luddite.
Chris Mara, back in his expansive control room.
I'm a recording engineer first and foremost, and what I was taught by my mentors is what a recording engineer is someone who can record anything, anywhere, anyhow. Whatever the artist wants to do, we're going to do.
The place is set up to do all digital recording and mixing, or they can record to 2-inch tape and then mix the music on a computer, or they can go straight to vinyl.
And they're going to be high quality each way, and everything in between. The staff, the equipment, the ethos is all set to do that.
So, over their 11 years in business, Jason Isbell, Chris Stapleton, Margot Price, John Oates, and many others have been welcomed to 1979. There, as in a lot of record stores, record labels, and home hi-fi setups, the future of the music business looks a lot more like its past. For WMOT, I'm Craig Havighurst.